So hunger for God is absolutely essential. It is in the things, I don't know, the equipment, tools that we have in our walk with God. To have a hunger for God is absolutely fundamental. And if we don't have it, something's wrong. And we need to find out what's wrong, because that's the natural state of everyone who's born of God, who has the Spirit of Christ living within them, that we would have a hunger for the Lord. So if we've lost that hunger, we need to find out why. And you may remember a time when you were hungrier than you are now for the Lord. And so we want to visit some of the things that might be possible reasons why that hunger is not there, and then find the pathway back, because that's God's will for our life. To be hungry for the Lord and the things of God is the natural state that we should be in as believers. And we know in the physical state, that's a natural thing. When someone loses their appetite, it's a signal that something's not quite right, because we're born hungry. I've got a new grandson, and he was born hungry. That baby, my daughter says she can't keep him filled. He is just born hungry, and that is the natural state of being for us as human beings. And so spiritually, when we are born again of God, there should be a hunger for him. And if we don't have a hunger within our hearts, then we need to find out why, because that's how we're supposed to be. Psalm 63, I just thought I'd read a little bit from it this morning, is a psalm of seeking God, and the metaphor of thirst is engaged here as well to just describe how David feels about his hunger and his thirst for God. He said, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and a thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips." And he goes on to talk about meditating upon his bed, even in the nighttime, thinking about the Lord. And in verse 8, he says, "My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me." This is the words of a man who is hungry for God, who has a desire for God. And I have to say that that is not always the state I find myself in. Sometimes I can be just a little bit blasé, a little bit too casual about my seeking of God. It's like, "Oh, good morning, Lord. Yeah, get put on the coffee. Yep, oh, there's the Bible. All right, yep, I should read my Bible." And let me not talk you out of the habit of seeking God on a daily basis, reading your Bible. Even when you don't feel hungry, do it anyway. But how much better is it to be seeking after the Lord with a genuine hunger? It is absolute the enjoyment factor. So let me just move my Bible over here so I don't knock the podium down here. Music stand. I've preached from music stands before. Okay. So when our hunger mechanism isn't operating, like I say, something's amiss. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 says, "You must crave spiritual milk so that you can grow into the fullness of your salvation. Cry out for this nourishment as a baby cries for milk, now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness." So this again is illustrating, like I say, how a baby hungers. We're to hunger after God. And some might say, "Oh, that's milk and I grow beyond that." Well, we don't ever outgrow a hunger for God. We might go on just like children do in the natural. Little Isaac is now getting filled up with some solids. You got to put something in that boy to keep him full. And we should get on to some solid food, but we should never lose appetite. Yep, we just hunger for more of God and deeper things of God and stronger meat to eat. But the hunger factor always should be there. That should be innate and be a part of who we are. Okay, so we want that hunger mechanism to be working really well in our lives and to go on with the Lord. Because the scripture says here that you may grow by this. So that's where growth comes. When we hunger, we take in spiritual nourishment. It nourishes our body, it's our spiritual self, and so that we become people that can grow in God. So I want to talk to you about having an appetite for the Lord and talking to you about four things why some people do not have an appetite for the Lord, and how maybe that might be something that you identify to today, and it might be some good news to say, okay, I can change this. I can make a choice here, and something different can happen. You know, the French have a phrase, and I don't speak French, but I'll try to say it like a French speaker. They say, bon appétit, when they serve you your food. Bon appétit, which means good appetite. Good appetite. How enjoyable is food when you have an appetite? Have you ever, this happens at Christmas time, especially if you have a lot of relatives to go around and visit, and you might have dinner there and then, or lunch there, and then you're supposed to go to dinner there, and it's just this massive amounts of food and sweets and heavy and you know, and it's all on its own very beautiful, tasty food. But when you have had so much, it's like you're not hungry. And you look and there's, you know, Auntie Rose's baked dinner, and it's like, oh, I can't eat anything. I just have no weapon. It's not even enjoyable. But if you had an appetite, it'd be, oh, let me add that. Wow, Auntie Rose's baked lamb. That's awesome, you know. So there's the difference. What's the difference? It's not the food. It's the appetite of the person that is going to eat the food. So God's word, it's always good. It's always wonderful. God's presence, we want more of him. He's always good. He's always awesome. But what's the difference? Appetite. Appetite. Okay? So we want to enjoy the Lord. And so we're going to explore these reasons why we might not have a hunger for God or a craving for God. Reason number one, why some people do not have an appetite for the Lord is they have not ever developed an appetite for the Lord. The scripture says in Psalm 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O taste and see. And you know, for some people, they may be introduced to salvation. They receive Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. They have their first taste of the Lord, and they don't progress any further than that. They just have a little taste on the tip of the tongue saying, okay, that's good. I've got God in my life now. And they don't develop a further hunger or an appetite for the Lord. And soon, as you can read in the New Testament, other things rush in and fill life. And we can get distracted about a lot of things and not make the focus upon the Lord. And so there must be this ongoing tasting of the Lord. Because if you look in a little bit deeper in the language of the Old Testament in the Hebrew, when it says, oh, taste and see, it's actually more than just getting a little taste of. It's like, you know, like wine tasters or chocolate tasters. I went to a chocolate tasting demonstration at Hershey, Pennsylvania in the U.S., where they make this, you know, it's Chocolate Factory USA there. And they had this chocolate appreciation workshop. So I thought, yeah, I'm in. I'm going there. And they were so dead set serious about tasting the chocolate. You know, like it was really formal and official. And they had the little pieces of chocolate out in the little squares. And you didn't touch it until they told you to. And then they told you how to taste chocolate. How do you taste chocolate? The first thing you do is you take a piece of chocolate and you smell it. Yeah, and you just sense the cocoa content and the aroma and the fragrance of the cocoa in there. And then the next thing you do is you take it close to your ear and you break it because you want to sense the how much of, I don't know what is in it, the fat content or something, you know. So there's a certain sound that the attuned chocolate taster knows how chocolate's supposed to sound if it's good chocolate. So you do that. And then you put it in your mouth. This is critical. Putting it in your mouth. How you put it in your mouth, where you put it in your mouth, what you do when you put it in your mouth. So you take the little piece of chocolate, put it right in the middle of your tongue so that it has the best position to influence all the taste buds, because there's different areas of your tongue for tasting. And so it has to be right there in the center. And you don't do anything but allow it to melt. And as it begins to melt, you breathe in. Because getting a little bit more air in there kind of makes it stronger, and then you can sense it more, and you just let that just start to melt over your tongue. And then you take your tongue and you move it around your mouth a little bit so it can get a little bit more flavor there. And then finally, just gently move it to one of your teeth and chew and experience the flavor there. And then swallow and breathe again. And now you have tasted chocolate. I know you're going to try that. Go get your Lindt or your Cadbury or something and see if it works. But that's how you're supposed to taste chocolate. It's a lot more than go, you know? And some people approach God like that. Yep, okay, I've come to church, I've got my God fix, I've done my thing for the week, or I've read my Bible verses, yep, done there, been there, done that. And they don't really take in the Lord like that. And so develop a taste for God means to really perceive, to deeply experience the Lord. It's more than the casual Passover, been there, done that, tick the box. But it's really, really tasting of the Lord. And you know what's interesting about this psalm is that David, if you read in the margin, it says that he wrote this when he was amongst the Philistines under King Abimelech. He was in a tough time. He was not in a happy place. And, you know, if circumstances are what influence how much you love God, you know, there are some people that when they have hard times come, they quit coming to church, they quit reading their Bible, they quit praying, they sort of like get a little bit mad at God until things get better. How silly is that? How shallow is that? How immature is that? How much do you cut yourself off from your source of life if you do that? But David, he was a man that from a youth knew what it meant to worship God and to be in his presence. And David was in a time when he was living in absolute strife. He was rejected by his own people. He was dispossessed by his leadership, Saul. He was in fear of his life. He was at a low point in his life. And he wrote and said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Everything else around you can be just rubbish. But God is always good. God is always good. And if you know him, if you taste and see and know the Lord, then you know that he is good." So we want more than a tip of the tongue experience. We want to taste, fully taste the Lord. There's a coffee place in Penrith, and I know some folks come from Penrith, and I don't know if you know this one, and I'm not going to say its name, but it's this little out-of-the-way place over Emu Plains Way. I'll give you a hint. And it's in sort of like the industrial shop area. And they just set out a couple of seats out the front. And they make chocolate there as well, by the way, so there's a hint. But they make some of the best chocolate and the best coffee roasted that it's actually nationally famous right now. I saw it featured on MasterChef this last year. And this place is so good that they don't have to advertise. Because people tell each other about, have you been to, because that is the best coffee in town. And people will line up outside the door just to get their coffee to go there because they have tasted. And they know that brand is really the very best brand you're going to find in Penrith. Do you know what I'm talking about, Ollie? Have you got it? You know. Okay. Not on recording. Nah, it's worse. I'll tell you later. So when you've tasted something good, you tell somebody else about it. And you know, if you're talking about sharing your faith with others, when you've tasted that God is good, how easy is it to just tell someone else? Because you know, it's just an overflow of your life. So some people don't taste of God's goodness for a few reasons. Here's one: complacency. Just haven't made that choice. Don't feel like they need to or even want to. They've been misled in their thinking that they've got all of God that they need. Some people are fearful. They're afraid to approach God and actually get closer to him because maybe they think God will make them do or be something they don't want to do. Some people don't come closer to God because they have guilt and shame in their life, and they don't fully believe that God is good and he is a forgiver and he covers our sins and washes us in the blood of Jesus. There's a song lyric from a song that's called "Will You Hide Me?" And the subtitle of that song is "Healing Streams." And when I was writing this message earlier this year, it just so ministered to my heart. And so I actually wrote it, and I'll get through it this time. But it says to me what I think everybody needs to know. This singer says, "Will you lead me to repentance? Will you make temptation flee? When I'm filled with condemnation, will you show your scars to me? Will you show your scars to me?" And I think that says it all. If we have any reason why we would duck away and fear coming closer to the Lord, just think about the scars of Jesus, because he shows them to you today. And his love is there, and he wants you to draw near to him because he is drawing near to you. Okay? So our response, let's taste and fully experience the Lord for ourselves. Number two, why some people have no hunger for God. Because their appetite has been dulled by filling up on other things. Think about what maybe your mother always used to say. She'd say, I don't want you to eat that now because it will, what? Spoil your appetite, or words to that effect, right? How many mothers ever say that? Don't eat that now because it will spoil your appetite. Why do mothers say that? They say that because they want their children to be eating really good food. They want them to eat their dinner. And if they have that snack now, they're going to not have an appetite for the really good food that she's prepared for them, the meat and the potatoes and the vegetables and the things that are actually going to nourish their body. And, you know, it's the very same thing, spiritually speaking. We can not have an appetite for God because it's dulled filling up on other things. There are a lot of things that will grab our attention and distract us off of the Lord. And we live in a day filled with so many things. I actually find, like, for example, my iPad has Wi-Fi, has everything on it, and I can think of something and in a second be Googling and out there and out on another way, you know? And so, like, when I'm having my time with the Lord, I'll close it up and I'll put it someplace else so that I can just focus on the Lord. Because it's just too easy to go, oh yeah, I was thinking about that. You know, that reminds me, da-da-da. Next thing I'm over there and I'm distracted and my time is gone and I've actually filled up on something else and lost my appetite. So I know my weakness. I know where I could be tempted, so I put away so that I can fill up on the good food of the Word of God, the good food of being in His presence and hearing His voice speak to me and being loved by God and communing with Him. And so it's so easy to get distracted and dulled by other things. The Proverbs chapter 27 verse 7 says, when you are full, not even honey tastes good, but when you are hungry, even something bitter tastes sweet. So a very poignant scripture talking about appetite. When we're hungry, even just something bitter would taste sweet. I don't know if you've done much fasting before. We actually, in our church in Penrith, the first 3 weeks of February, had a fast. And people did it in different ways. Some people fasted one or two meals a day. Some people fasted certain foods. But we all did something to have a physical hunger that would remind us that we want a spiritual hunger. Okay, so, you know, fasting doesn't earn brownie points with God. Fasting focuses on us on God. That's really, in an essence, the what fasting can do for us. And so we did so to do that. And I noticed that, you know, like a piece of bread tasted amazing. Oh, I get to have bread right now. It's amazing, you know. No butter, no jam, no nothing, just a piece of bread. It was just wonderful because I was hungry. I was physically hungry. And so we can make choices in our life to create spiritual hunger in our life by not filling up on stuff that is just this and that and the other thing. John Piper is a teaching pastor in Minnesota. He's part of Baptist Church in Minneapolis. And he wrote a book called Hunger for God. And I just like to quote him. He said, if you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It is because you have nibbled so long at the table of the world. Your soul is stuffed with small things and there is no room for great. God did not create you for this. There is an appetite for God, and it can be awakened. That is a powerful, powerful statement. There is an appetite for God that's innate in us as we're born of God, and it can be awakened. So let's not let anything dull it. So let's respond to God today and bring some order to our lives. We are to be in order, spirit, soul, and body. We are three parts, spirit, soul, and body, but too often we give so much emphasis and so much care and so much concern to the body and to the soul, the mind, will, emotions, that we forget this spiritual part of us. And so if we will allow the Spirit of God to be in control of us, of our human spirit, and have that order in our life, then things will come into a place that everything is ordered right and life begins to work right and our spiritual appetite will return. The Bible says in Galatians 5:25, we are to live in the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. Okay, let's move on to number three, the third thing that may have some people lacking spiritual appetite. And it's found in Psalm 23, verse 3. Psalm 23 is very familiar. It says, he restores my soul. Why are some people not hungry for God? It's because they need their soul restored. Another way of saying that is they may have some woundedness, some actual sickness that's an emotional thing, a spiritual need within that needs to be restored, something that's on our inside, not our outside, but something on the inside. Some people have been wounded by life. Some people have been absolutely trounced upon, and they need the Lord to restore their soul before that they can actually have a response, because they just live in this numbness. Until they get healed, they just live in this numbness, and there's like, I don't know what to do first. I don't even know how to approach. And then they actually feel condemned about that. And so this is absolutely vital. And, you know, just in speaking about it right here, we can't fix every situation right there with that. But can I say, this is something to have some prayer and have some ministry and to explore wellness in a spiritual sense. And maybe this awaken something and you're going, I think that's me. I think that's what's actually wrong here. And you can talk to Troy and Nicole and then ask them to pray with you. And there's other mature leaders here as well, I know. But when we are in that place, and as we read Psalm 23, we find that we have a good shepherd who cares for his sheep, and that he will lead you beside those still waters, and he will bring you to those green pastures, and he will bring you to a place where your soul can be restored. And there is a place where we need to find our rest in the Lord and allow him to minister to us. But I have to just define for us what rest means. It really is something spiritual, and it is something that's proactive. It's not a resignation and I give up. And so I wrote here, rest does not mean drop out, quit, lay about, take your ease, but it means rather draw near to the Lord and lay your burdens at his feet and find rest for your soul in him. So it's proactively saying, God, I need your help. And this is, I'm placing myself in this situation for you to do that. Sometimes we burn out and we burn up, and only the Lord himself can restore our soul. And if we're not well, you know, naturally speaking, if you're not well, you say, oh, I'm just not hungry. I'm just not hungry. Oh, but eat. You need to eat. I know, but I'm not hungry. There's like absolutely no appetite when we're not well physically. And that follows spiritually. So let's get well. Let's be well. Let's get well emotionally. And let's, in being able to do that, it's a reciprocating process there. Is the more that we seek wholeness in the Lord, the more we're able to seek him, the more that we're able to want him and desire him. So our response today is to seek the Lord for his healing power and for him to restore our souls. And I wish I had more time for that. We could take a whole weekend and just talk on that. So when your health returns, your hunger returns. And finally, the last thing. And this one's kind of interesting. I spoke a little bit about this yesterday in the ladies, because I just keep going back to this in my own life. I really identify with this last one. And it is, some people have no hunger for God because they have chosen doing over being. Chosen doing over being. And there are some of us that love to serve the Lord. And service actually is a spiritual gift. Helping and serving is a spiritual gifting that we see in the scripture. And so some people have it naturally, some of them have it by the Spirit, and some have it both. And there is a danger in that. It's good, and we need service. We need lots of help in the body of Christ. Troy and Nicole need your help here in the church. There are lots of things, if you have a hands-on heart, please put your hand up, because there's lots of things that you can do. But we know it's good to serve, but service in itself can become an end in itself. There are things that we need to do, but we have to do them from the priority of a life that is in communion with the Lord. We have to serve from who we are. So if we choose service instead of being, we substitute. We can substitute what we do for who we are before God. And that can be a bit of a smokescreen. And if it's done to a degree of a lot of service, we can find ourselves burning out because we don't have any resource from which we live our lives. And so, of course, the classic example and the persons I love to speak about and love so much is Mary and Martha. And we find their story in Luke chapter 10. I'll just read the scripture. It says chapter 10, 38 through 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. So we see these two women. We see one to whom service was absolutely paramount to her. That was important to what she did, and that's how she loved. That's how she expressed her love for Jesus. And then we see this sister, Mary, who we, you know, from my point of view, because I love to serve and I express my love with what I do. I look at her and I go, girl, you know, couldn't you have been in that kitchen too? You know, Jesus is there. You can see him later. But I get a little bit cranky with her because I kind of side with Martha. I understand how she feels. But we have Jesus' comment on this. And so Jesus actually brought the perspective that he wants us all to see, and that was that she chose the better part. She chose what was the most important thing for that moment. And we don't know what the circumstances was, but I like what Pastor Bill Johnson says. That day, Martha made one sandwich too many. There's that place where we're doing more than we need to do, and we've lost the perspective of coming from who we need to be in the Lord. And so that's a place that if we get to not choosing that good portion, we exchange good for the better or the best. So we have to do good. We have to do right, but we have to want the best, and that is to serve the Lord from communion with him, from actually experiencing him and choosing him. And you know, when we serve and we don't worship, then that becomes the focal point. And when we serve and we notice others that do not, they become our focal point. And soon we get resentful and we get cranky and we get judgmental and we miss the whole point of what we're doing. And so we can serve to a point that we're busy in the kitchen not focusing on the Lord, and there's no hunger for him. So we have to respond by changing the balance. Yes, serve, but do it from a heart that worships him first. So I'm going to conclude with that, but just to reiterate the choices that we want to make today to try to bring ourselves to a place of fresh hunger for the Lord is let's do more than taste the Lord. Let's have a real appetite for the Lord. Let's really, like the chocolate tasters, let's really experience the Lord. Let's just be open. Be open to him and want him more. Number two, let's not spoil our appetite on other things. And number three, let's get healed. Let's have a restored soul that actually can have an appetite. Let's have a hunger for God because we're healthy within. And lastly, as I just spoke, let's choose our doing. Choose being rather than doing so that we have the right motive for what we do and we don't kind of separate ourselves, have God at arm length because we're doing for him, but we're not being with him. We want that change. Okay? Father God, we come to you right now, Lord, with our hearts open, with our spirits open to just say, Lord, we want more of you. God, as we just begin this new season and this new theme, we say today, God, we hunger after you. And Lord, we want to have even a better appetite than we've ever had before. Lord, a better appetite. And I pray you show each one of us those things that might be stopping our appetite by causing us to not have the hunger. Show us where we need you to minister to us. Show us the choices that you want us to make so that we can choose the best, not just the good. Lord, we love you today, and we give you our hearts, and we give you all that we are. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, amen. Amen. Amen.